on MacArthur, and when you do, let him know you heard the broadcast here on WTRJ The Truth. John MacArthur is also brought to you in part by Ginn and Paetro, PA, a full-service law firm located in St. Augustine, serving all of Northeast Florida. They frequently service clients in the areas of estate planning and wills, probate, and business law. The firm's slogan is based out of Micah 6:8, to seek justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God. The office is located just steps from the beach on A1A Beach Boulevard, just south of the St. Augustine Pier. The attorneys can be reached at 461-3000. That's 461-3000, or you can direct connect to their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
On 91.7 FM, we talk about God's good news.
You're listening to The Truth.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board, join in the dialogue and discussion that we have each and every day as we face the issues. It's always a joy, delight, and a pleasure to have you call in, ask your questions, give your comments, search for answers, if you will, in relationship to the issue of the day. We're talking about today the issue, I believe, that is very, very, very needful for us to understand. Do Americans have a hunger for the Word of God? Do Americans have a hunger for the Word of God? Are we hungry to study the Word, to hear the Word, to know the Word? Ladies and gentlemen, I believe in America today we can buy a Bible in almost every bookstore. In fact, rarely, I believe, it's rare to find a home that doesn't have a Bible in it. In fact, according to George Barna, the Barna Report says that every home in America has about two Bibles. That's the average. Some might have five or six. Some might have one. But the average across America is two Bibles in every home. And still, ladies and gentlemen, we do not find, in my opinion, do not find a real hunger, a yearning, a desire to know the Word, to hear the Word, to heed the Word, to memorize the Word, to recognize the Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll talk about that today. Perhaps you are familiar with that. Perhaps you believe that there's enough Bibles. Perhaps you believe that there's enough people that know the Word, read the Word. But ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. The Bible is a banned book. It's illegal to own one in many, many, many nations. In fact, I've got an article that's quite alarming. It says the Bible is banned in a long list of countries. You may have heard that the Bible is banned or illegal in 52 countries. And it goes on to list, ladies and gentlemen, 52 nations, countries, where the Bible is a banned book. Now, that doesn't mean that there may not be Bibles there. That doesn't mean that in those 52 countries that there may not be Christians in those countries. But they have to hide the Bible and hide in their worship time. Let me just give you a highlight of some of those nations. China, North Korea, Iran, Afghanistan, Saudi Arabia, Somalia, Yemen, Cuba, Kuwait, Libya, India, Iraq, Egypt, and many, many other nations, ladies and gentlemen. We're told there are 52 nations where the Bible is either banned or simply out and out rejected. We're going to talk about that today. And I believe it should get the attention of every Christian, every conservative, every patriot that's listening even today. Ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, let me remind you, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. When Jesus spoke to his disciples in John 8, 31 and 32, he said, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." Then in John 14, 6, Jesus says, "I am truth." Further in John 17, 17, a declaratory statement is made about the Word of God. The Bible says, "Thy word is truth." Then in Psalms 117, verse 2, the Bible says, "The truth of the Lord endures forever." And that's a pretty lengthy period of time. Endures forever. But ladies and gentlemen, we're in a nation today, we're in a society today, that I believe mirrors what George Orwell said, the secularist, in his dystopian novel entitled 1984. He said, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." But I want us to understand, ladies and gentlemen, it doesn't make any difference the denominational dogma that you might adhere to. It doesn't make any difference what political power you might ascribe with. It doesn't make any difference what part of the nation you're in. We still need to understand that truth is truth, and you cannot bifurcate truth and still have truth. It's an impossibility. In fact, it was the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint warns that America's decline is linked to the death of truth. In fact, in part, this is what DeMint said. "What we believe about truth does not change what is true. What we believe about reality does not change what is real. There's no greater example of arrogance and self-worship than to assume whatever we believe is true and real. Yet that is precisely the prevailing view in America today, even in our Christian churches." And I go back to one of the latest surveys. Headline says, "Most younger Americans say there's no absolute truth." And it's talking about the millennial, 18 to 35-year-old age group. And the article states 55% of Americans, 18 to 35 years old, say that each person determines their own version of truth. Ladies and gentlemen, there's not but one version of truth. Truth is truth. You can't bifurcate it and still have truth. I'm always amazed at those that you might have dialogue and discussion with, and you talk about some of the news things, what's happening. You talk about what's happening, whether it be the floods, et cetera, et cetera. Or you say something about theological, doctrinal, biblical issues, and they would quip, "Well, where did you get that? I've not heard that." And generally, I find, because they've been watching the, what would you say, the Communist Network News, the socialist Marxist media. I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, "Faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death." I believe it's time that we understand that the time is right, the time is now, to defend the truth, to stand for truth. You know, I've seen so many times people, even among Christians, that will bifurcate the truth. And then after they have repeated their half-truth enough times, it sows seed of discord among other believers, because other believers have placed their confidence and trust in that person. Therefore, they think, "Well, surely he's telling the truth." And I find it absolutely sad that so much of that happens in the world of faith today. May I say to you, we need to understand truth and understand it wholly, completely. We need to be able to seek it, learn it, listen to it, love it, tell it, live it, and be willing to stand and defend truth even to death. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for a Time. Tools for a Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for a Time carries the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for a Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for a Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for a Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for a Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. Perhaps you say, "Where is that? How do I find it?" 11291 Old St. Augustine Road is right at the intersection of I-295 Beltway and Old St. Augustine Road. There's an identifier on the campus of Tools for Time. There's a 165-foot flagpole. Atop that flagpole flows Old Glory, the U.S. flag, 24/7. Find that flag in the flagpole. The base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for a Time. ToolsForATime.com. ToolsForATime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, we're delighted you've tuned in. Right after a brief monologue, we're going to have open our lines and allow you to call in. That telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. Have with me today Dr. Neil Phelps, one of the professors in Conservative Theological University, Dr. Glenn Davis, another one of the professors, former graduate of Conservative Theological University with his doctoral degree. We're delighted to have these two men with us. Dr. Phelps, Dr. Davis, speak for just a moment. Thank you for being here. And is it important for us to talk about knowing the Word? Is it important for us to talk about having a hunger for the Word? Perhaps our listeners will say, well, you know, I read my Bible once a month. I carry my Bible in my car. I dust it off on Sunday morning to take it to church. Surely I have a hunger for the Word. Speak to that for just a moment without getting into the details of where we're going, but just speak to having a hunger for the Word. Do you see that? Is there a problem with that? Dr. Davis, go.
Well, I want to thank God again for being here. Dr. Youngblood and Dr. Phelps, is always a pleasure to be able to speak to God's people. Amen. I want to say good morning to my bride, amen, of 39 years, and all my family and friends that are listening on today. Dr. Youngblood, is we need to understand as Christians, in order to be followers of Christ, we must take interest in the Word of God even more than we do our necessary food that we eat each and every day. Now, we know that because of the necessities of the nourishment of our physical bodies, we may have to have food, but we cannot go without the Word of God. Mm-hmm. I mean, that goes for the saved and the unsaved as well. Even though the unsaved don't realize it, it's still of utmost importance that they know that they need the Word of God in order to make it through each and every day life. I mean, if we think about all the things that we face, all our trials, tribulations, persecutions, afflictions, so forth and so on, there is an answer for that in the Word of God. So it's much more important, I would say, for Christians to make sure that we put emphasis on the Word of God as being more important than our necessary daily food that we eat every day.
Amen. Let me touch on that before Dr. Phelps speaks. In Romans, the 10th chapter, 17th verse, so faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by, that little Greek word, dia, the access, the avenue, by the Word of God. So you touched on that. Even the lost need to understand the need for the Word. It is the Word of God that is sharper than a two-edged sword. It is the Word of God that will bring about faith in the heart of any individual. Amen. God's Word is powerful. Dr. Phelps, what say you?
Well, one of the things I've learned from reading the Scriptures is that the Word of God is spoken of in terms of truth. It's the place where we find truth. And it is very important for us to understand that the gospel of Christ is referred to as the Word of Truth. Mm-hmm. The important element, the Word of Truth of the gospel, is vital in the formation of faith in me and in you. It's so vitally important. Paul said it like this in Ephesians 1:13, in whom you also trusted after that you heard the Word of Truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. So there must be some telling of the gospel, or the preaching, or the proclaiming of the gospel of the Word of Truth, and there can be no believing without receiving mm-hmm. the truth.
That's right.
So When there's no hearing of the word of truth, of the gospel of Christ, there will be no believing. In Romans chapter 10, the Bible says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so there must be the proclaiming, there must be the hearing, must be the receiving of the word of truth. As you indicated earlier, even among church people today, there is no receiving of the truth as it ought to be. Doctor, so many people will sit in the pew of our churches today, and they do not allow the truth that they hear to enter into their hearts and be received.
Question, you touch on that, and Dr. Davis might have an input on it. Why is that so? Why have we come to the place and point, even among Christians, so-called, even among those in our churches, that they might hear but not heed? It's like water, as I call it, water off a duck's back. I'm looking at an article that it says, are we hungry for God's word? It says, are the preaching and public readings of the word the chief elements getting to the most of the time in our given most of the time in our services? Hear that? Are the preaching and teaching, the public reading, are they the chief elements getting the most time in our services? This writer says, I believe we're seeing an alarming thing in Western Christian culture that is reducing the preaching and the public reading of the Word of God down to just a few of the other elements in our services. Part of the reason is fast-paced, mindless culture with little attention span among that produces an attitude to get things done quickly, including the worship services. I find it alarming that most will go to church, and I've seen it happen. I watched a number of years ago, I'm preaching, it went a few minutes after 12 o'clock, and someone on the back row looked at their watch and then shook the arm and showed the husband the time. that it's past time, it's time for this man to quit. That shows me, that tells me, that there's a lack, L-A-C-K, of real hunger to know the word, to hear the word, and heed the word.
Well, you know, Dr. Youngblood, there's a psalm that I love so dearly. I believe that Psalm 12 and verse 1. The psalm writer had it right. When he cried out in a prayer, and he said, help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth. The godly man ceaseth. So I have to wonder, even in your explanation that you just got finished saying, are there any real Christians out there today? There are many so-called Christians.
That's right.
But if we consider what a true Christian really is, those are the people who love God and keep his commandments. Mm-hmm. Now, here's what 2 Corinthians, and this is chapter 3, and verse number 14. This is what it had to say about those who refuse to hear the word of God, even in Moses' time. Verse 14. Well, let me go up to 13. And not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished, talking about the law. But their minds, verse 14, were blinded. For until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament. That's the word. People, like you say, don't have enough patience to sit there and listen to the word of God so that they could come to the knowledge of the truth. Like Dr. Phelps just got finished saying, the gospel is the word of truth, and they really need to hear that, but their minds are blinded by that veil which has not been taken away. But listen what it says in the last part. It says, which veil is done away in Christ. When they come to Christ Jesus, then that veil will be taken away through the reading of the word and the receiving thereof. Then they can come to the knowledge of the truth. So this is why I say my poor heart bleeds. Many churches I go to, and I see so-called Christians getting up and leaving before the service is even over.
Right.
And I guarantee you, after church, if you go to Walmart, you'll find them in there shopping.
That's right.
Because they left the church to go down and catch the sale on a big screen TV, so forth
there,
and so on.
Are they out there boating, hunting, fishing, skiing, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? Dr. Davis, that reminds me, David, in the Psalms text, and I believe Psalms 119 is probably the favorite of mine out of all of the Psalms text. It's the longest, and I'm not going to try to go through all of it, but I'm just going to read a few verses. In Psalms 119, verse 9, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed thereto according to thy word." Verse 11, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." Verse 15, "I will meditate in the precepts and have respect unto thy word. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word." Verse 24, "Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors." Verse 25, "My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word." Psalms 119, verse 33, "Teach me, O Lord, thy way of thy statutes, and I shall keep in mind unto the end." Verse 40, "Behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Quicken me in thy righteousness."
My, my.
We find in verse 44, "So shall I keep thy law continually forever and forever." Verse 46, "I will speak of the testimonies also before kings and will not be ashamed." 47, "I will delight myself in my commandments, which I have loved." Verse 49, "Remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope." Verse 103, and I could go to a dozen of others in there. Verse 103, "How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth."
Amen.
Now you can't beat Psalms 119.
That's right. That's right.
Identifying the joy in the word of God and inculcating the word in one's heart. But my question goes back to, do we find in America a hunger for the word? Dr. Phelps, I'm going to read a portion of an article, then let you take it and respond. It says, "Chinese Christians memorize the Bible in prison. Government can't take what's hidden in your heart. Chinese Christians imprisoned for their faith are memorizing scripture passages smuggled to them on small pieces of paper because prison guards can't take what is hidden in your heart," one former prisoner revealed. In a recent sermon, John Cordero, pastor of the New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu, Hawaii, shared an experience he had on a trip to China where his church went to train leaders. The pastor shared how 22 Christians from Hunan province took 13-hour train ride to attend the leadership training held in a 700-square-foot hotel room. Out of the 22 Christians present, 18 had been prisoners for their faith, according to the pastor. "If we get caught, what will happen to me?" the pastor began asking. "Well, you'll get deported in 24 hours. You'll go to prison for 3 years," according to one Chinese Christian that responded. After beginning his lesson, the pastor realized he had only 15 Bibles to pass around, so 7 people went without. I said, "Turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. We are going to read it." Just then, one lady handed her Bible to the person next to her, and I thought, interesting. As the Christian began reading, he quickly realized that she had given the Bible away because she had memorized the whole book. When it was done, I went over to her and at the break time and said, you recited the whole chapter, he said. She replied, "In prison, you have very much time." Don't they confiscate Bibles?" he asked. She said, "Yes, but while a Christian material is indeed confiscated, people smuggle in scripture portions on paper and hide it so the prison guards will not find it. That's why we memorize it as fast as we can. Even though they can take the paper away, they cannot take away what's hidden in the heart."
Amen.
Dr. Phelps, do we find that in America today?
Not very often. The first time I ever saw people who love the Word of God was in northern Hokkaido, Japan. Mm-hmm. I was assigned a place to live or dwell with the Air Force in a Quonset hut, and on the east coast of the northern island of Hokkaido when I was in the military during the Korean conflict. Mm-hmm. And I saw something happening in that bunking place, that dwelling place. There were men around the room, as probably at least six, maybe more, who were looking at cards that they held in their hands. And they were not throwing them around the table, you know, like they do playing when you're playing gambling cards. Mm-hmm. They were looking at them, and they were just silent. But they were thinking, they were meditating on the scriptures. I became interested and inquired about it and got enrolled, the same kind of thing that they were doing. And I've been doing that ever since. But they were meditating on the scriptures.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
And that's what the psalmist talked about in Psalm 119, verse 97.
Yes.
When he says, "Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day."
Amen.
Went on to say in verse number 103, as you have already indicated, the psalmist, and I believe David, mm-hmm. Said, "How sweet are thy words unto my taste." That's his spiritual taste.
Amen. That's right.
He's not talking about peanut butter and jelly.
That's right.
He's not talking about
chocolate covered ice cream either.
He's talking about something that is very important. "How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth."
Amen.
So David wrote these words, and I believe that's one of the reasons why David is a man after God's own heart.
Amen.
David was a man whose heart was perfect toward God. He wasn't sinlessly perfect.
That's right.
But he had a perfect heart toward God. Mm-hmm. He valued the scriptures.
Amen.
He placed value upon the Word of God.
Let me ask you a question. I mean, it's relative, I mean, to what we're talking about now. How else can a child of God know anything about God if they don't read the Word?
You got it. It's an impossibility. In fact, let me do a little footnote to the article that I just read a moment ago and get your response to it. This preacher said, following the three-day training session, one of the Chinese men asked, "Pastor, could you pray that one day we could be just like you?" I looked at him and said, "I will not do that. You guys rode a train for 13 hours to get here. In my country, if you have to drive more than an hour, people just won't come. You sat on a wooden floor for 3 days. In my country, if people have to sit for more than 40 minutes, they get up and leave. You sat here not only for 3 days on hard wooden floors. In my country, if it's not a padded pew with air conditioning, people will not come back. In my country, we have an average of 2 Bibles per family. We don't read any of them. You hardly have any Bibles, and you memorize every piece of paper with the scripture on it. I will not pray that you become like us. I will pray that we will become just like you." What say you, Dr. Davis?
Well, you know, that might be a good thought, but we have to understand, we're not supposed to compare ourselves. The scripture says, "A man that compares himself with another man is not wise." Mm-hmm. So what we're supposed to actually be doing is imitating and emulating Christ.
Right.
Now, we don't owe man any worship. Mm-hmm. We owe it all to Christ Jesus, to God. We owe God all our reverence because he sent his son here to die upon the cross for us. Now, if you have not taken it personally, if it doesn't mean anything to you on a personal level, then of course you will not be interested in the Word and you will not love God the way that God commands us to do.
Very quick question before we take our news break. Dr. Phelps and Dr. Davis respond. What we're finding today is a mindset of entertainment, tickling ears. If that is the case, a person that's not hungry for the Word, my question is, and we'll answer it further after the news break, can a person truly be saved if they have no interest in the Word, if they have no desire to study the Word, if they have no interest in hearing the Word proclaimed, if they're simply interested in entertainment? Are they lost or saved? We'll respond to that in just a moment. Ladies and gentlemen, hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the news.
Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.
WTRJ Orange Park, WAYL St. Augustine, WHT.